Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 6 of 19 Bosses, where we pull back the shiny curtain of corporate America and tell relatable stories in hopes of helping you all navigate the business world.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Sabrina. And this week, we wanted to discuss some of the current events that are happening in the business world, share a little bit more about our experiences in corporate, and dive into why we feel so passionate about our mission here at 19 Bosses.
Yes. So while it's fun to bash bosses, we actually use each of these crazy stories to talk about lessons learned from each of them. Granted, I have had a lot of interesting bosses and some really funny stories over the years, but we share these stories as a way to discuss what we see as broken in the corporate world.
Absolutely. And I know that we've both been through our own unique experiences, but especially in the past few years, life in corporate really has felt like a roller coaster. With businesses now revoking their remote first policies, layoffs being a continual thing, and economy shifts, it is becoming less and less common to have long-term tenure with a company nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, I spent the first 18 years of my career in corporate working at the same company. And many of my colleagues at the time, they were also there for a long time, most of them like a decade. And it really wasn't that uncommon back then. Now, if someone has spent 3 years at a company, it's cause for a celebration. And I don't mean to diminish that, but that's just the reality of the world that we're living in. It's really become a churn and burn in some ways. And it feels, at least to me, like corporate America is broken, and the younger generation, they're really paying the price at many levels.
Yeah, I think churn and burn is the best way to put it. I'm sure you remember my first sales job in the technology space, but for those who don't, it was one of those jobs where you're making 100 plus cold calls a day, and you know they had metrics around emails and LinkedIn and everything like that. It was one of those number over everything type of organizations. And in some ways, that's what you sign up for when you want to do sales. But in other ways, it sucks, especially if the entire company is run like that. Because environments like those, they're stressful. Everyone becomes out for themselves and you get home every night exhausted. And it can make it really challenging to think about anything else other than just surviving the workday.
Yeah. Okay. Sabrina. Now, we both know that not all work environments are toxic. You and I have both worked at some really great companies that have treated us really well. So they do exist. But for the ones that aren't good, I mean, the ones that are truly toxic, in your opinion, based on what you've learned in your career and experiences so far, what do you think caused them to be that way?
Gosh, that's a loaded question. I feel like there isn't just one reason, but from what I've seen, I think a lot of toxic workplaces, they stem from leadership at all levels not being able to handle the pressure that comes from a bad quarter or two or even a bad year. Just like life, business is very unpredictable, but how you handle as a leadership team when those bad quarters or two hit, that really determines how the workplace culture will prevail or if it becomes a toxic one. When leadership begins to have a mindset of do more, they begin to micromanage others' jobs and they start comparing teams or even individual team members to another. It really isn't a great place to move the business forward because you're just repeating that cycle until leaders actually go and take the time to step back, figure out what went wrong and why it went wrong, and then make the strategy adjustments moving forward. It's just a vicious cycle, you know? Employees can feel the stress, and it's because they can't control the things that went wrong, but they're the ones who are pushed on to perform.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are all really good and fair points, Sabrina. In my career, I've seen all of this. And I know in your short career, you've seen a lot of this as well. There's one factor that you didn't touch on, and that is, what about the bosses who have absolutely no business being in a leadership position in the first place? Just because someone is a really good salesperson or individual contributor doesn't mean that they're going to be a great leader. I've seen this mistake made by senior management too many times to count. You take someone who really shouldn't be in a leadership role to begin with, and then you layer on the business, just in general, not doing well. And what do you have? This is the perfect storm for a toxic environment. And I think that's a lot of what everyone in business is facing today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's a big part of the reason why we started 19 Bosses, so that we could have these types of conversations in a safe setting without being filtered by social media. And we really are hoping and wanted to use our stories and our perspectives as a way to help others who are navigating the challenges such as burnout or toxic work environments. I know that when we were thinking about how we wanted to do this podcast or what we really wanted to do with it, it was because we couldn't find many other platforms that would discuss common work struggles in a constructive way. They felt either very heavily filtered or just really negative, but there were very few places that really dove deep into the lessons learned and talked about ways that you could improve different situations.
I mean, you and I had discussed how important it would be to tell authentic stories and try not to sugarcoat things too much. And since we're laying it all out there, one of the things that we need to discuss is layoffs and how really good employees, through no fault of their own, can be impacted in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, as someone myself who's been impacted by large-scale layoffs a couple times, unfortunately, I feel as if the compounding impact to someone's career when this happens is often understated. And that is a topic that we really wanted to dive more into today. As many of you know who've listened in, as we are, you know, going throughout our weeks, we're looking up current business events. And I know that you, Julie, you came across an article on LinkedIn that was talking about some of the most recent layoffs. And there were actually quite a few people who commented pretty transparently about how those mass layoffs have impacted their ability to find another role after the fact.
Yeah, that's right. It was a really interesting article. And if I remember correctly, it was roughly around 32 companies who have announced recent layoffs. This was about a week or so ago. And I hate to say that we are all getting desensitized to layoffs, simply because this has been going on at this pace for several years now. But the reality is that there's an article like this one that comes out, if not every other week, maybe sometimes every week. It's crazy and doesn't seem to be showing any signs of stopping.
Yeah. And I mean, for companies, a layoff is just a layoff. Often they do it because they need more liquidity back. They were trying to launch a new product or build out a new business division that was just underprepared prior to hiring on a ton of employees. And often when they hired, it's because things seemed like they were going well. But, you know, once they aren't able to get into the market as quickly as they thought, or the economy shifts, the business isn't in a position to keep on the people that they hired. And I can't speak for every organization, but for the layoffs that myself and my friends have been impacted by, it seems that often the younger generations, those who haven't been in corporate for as many years as maybe someone in a senior role, they are really impacted by these layoffs. Because, you know, not only do they not have the role tenure that someone maybe a little bit more senior would have, but they don't have a lot of free money to dive into to live off during the time it takes to find a job. You know, often severance might be a month or two. Some companies are great with longer. Not only that, but they're back into job hunting with all of these other young professionals who have been impacted in similar ways. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of the younger generation go and start job hunting again within the same week that they were found or were told that they were being laid off. And they really don't have time to process that emotional impact that can come with losing a job.
These are all great points, Sabrina. And why I do agree that the younger generation has been impacted quite broadly. I do think that the older generation, my generation, has its own share of unique challenges when it comes to layoffs. Just to be clear, I'm not saying that it's easy for anyone. What I'm saying is that the challenges of each generation have varying degrees of impact that can be directly related to your age or your level of experience. And again, in the spirit of trying to keep it real here, there are many people impacted with families to support. I've had friends, close friends, and they were the sole breadwinner for their family. And they carry the health insurance. They might have two or three kids, a partner, a spouse, a hefty mortgage, college tuition, just bills that they have to pay. And they find themselves in a situation without just a few months of severance, if they're lucky, scrambling to find a new job in this crazy economic environment that we find ourselves in.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine being in that position with a family and kids to support. I feel fortunate, at least that wasn't my position when I have been laid off. But you're 100% right. The impact is huge no matter what stage of life you're at or where you're at in your career when you are told that you no longer have a job. But one thing I do feel is a consistent across anyone who has found themselves laid off is navigating those conversations with recruiters or future managers as you're explaining why your job tenure may be only a couple years across a couple of different companies. You know, what was once perceived as job hunting nowadays really doesn't have a reflection of how dedicated, capable, or impactful someone has been in their previous roles and could be in their next one. You know, I started my career out as a recruiter, and if I had just looked at those resumes that looked like they were shorter term and didn't talk to the people, I wouldn't have been able to learn that, oh, they were on a contract position for 6 months or a year. And if I really like hadn't taken the time to dive in and just look, judge the book by its cover in a way, there would have been quite a few companies who would have lost out on some very exceptional people and talent. Now, I don't think that you and I have all the answers, as we can only speak from our experience. But what do you think would be a solution to this ongoing issue from the executive level down for companies who are in the position to scale, regardless of their public or private?
Yeah, well, I really think that it comes down to better alignment between all levels of leadership and a leadership team who truly leads from the back. When a company is ready for growth or to develop new products, they need to make sure that everyone involved in the process understands the reasons, the goals, the allocated resources available to bring on new teams, no matter what the goal. And this needs to be crystal clear to everyone. There can be no confusion here. The businesses who had tight communication and the leaders who felt responsibility for the livelihoods of those that they employed, they were prepared to incrementally scale new divisions in a very aligned and prescriptive way. Those were the companies that seemed to be faring best through the unexpected times that we're in. And from what I've seen and experiences and people I know and other businesses, they've been able to maintain a much more stable workforce.
If I'm correct, you had a story of a friend who went through an entire interview process only to find out that there wasn't even a job to begin with, right?
Yeah, I do. I actually have quite a few of those stories, but the one that comes to mind is where a really close friend of mine was interviewing for a senior leadership role, and they got through the interviews with the recruiters, managers. They were even flown out to the business's headquarters to meet the team and present their strategy to build out a whole new team. I mean, she thought she had crushed it. I'm sure she did. And a lot of time and effort and money on both ends was put into this process. But when it came time for what they expected to be a call, either saying they'd gotten the role with the company or they were choosing a different candidate, they were actually told that the business wouldn't be moving forward with building out a team at all. I mean, can you imagine spending all that money, all the company's money, and even worse, putting someone through that process? I mean, she had kids and had to arrange for childcare in order to go to HQ, only to tell them that there wasn't actually a position available.
I mean, I would be absolutely devastated, especially if I wasn't employed at the time. And unfortunately, I know that many people have probably been in similar situations to that. There's really no way around it. It just sucks. And unfortunately, you know, this is part of the reason that we're sharing those types of stories and the ones we've shared and the stories we will share, because they are really a great example as to the conversations that we want to have here at 19 Bosses. And honestly, I think that experiences like that are the reason that so many people start to pick up side hustles or consider entrepreneurship after a certain point.
Exactly. And if I had to give my 25-year-old self advice, and of course, I'm always giving you advice, Sabrina, whether you want it or not, there are definitely a few things I would have done differently.
What do you think all professionals should be doing now, no matter if they're happy in their role or find themselves unemployed currently?
Okay. So first of all, and this is a mistake that I've made over the years, always, always, always take the call from the recruiter. Take that chance to speak with them when they reach out to you, even if it's just to learn more about the role. Even if you're happy in your role, take the call. Always. I can't emphasize that enough. When you do this, you're able to build connections with people from other companies. And even if the job isn't a fit for you, and again, you're happy in your role, you've got a chance to tell a recruiter what you might be interested in doing should a role come up later, or you find yourself looking for another opportunity. And you can also help maybe somebody in your network, because you're talking to the recruiter, you learn about the role. Maybe there's somebody you're connected with who you think would be a great fit, and then you're helping out two people. Always take the call.
I love that advice, and I think that's such a good point. And I know, as you've already said, there's been quite a few times where you and I have kicked ourselves for not speaking to a recruiter at one point or another in our careers. What other advice would you give?
Well, I mean, this phrase has become such a bit of a cliche now, but it's really true. Side hustle. I mean, again, you've got to be prepared for the unexpected. But in this case, what's the worst that can happen? Your side hustle brings in more money than you thought, and you end up quitting your day job. I mean, I've seen this happen. Now, what I will say is that if you are already working at a full-time job, then do yourself a favor and make your side hustle a passion project. And what I mean by this is, if you're already working 40 hours a week at your full-time gig, then make sure your side hustle is something that you truly enjoy. I mean, I know someone who is really good at creating and revamping resumes. Unfortunately, she's had a lot of practice through no fault of her own and found out that she had a knack for it. And now she gets paid by friends and family. I mean, if you're somebody in marketing, chances are you're really good at writing content. Upworks and Fiverr are two outlets that you could get plugged into, and you can make some extra money doing something that you probably enjoy and that you're already good at. Or you could even connect with the local business in your area and offer services to help them build their brand.
The part where you said connect with local businesses if you're someone in marketing to help them build their brand, especially if you're passionate about doing that, I think that's a really good thing to call out. I know even for me, kind of taking a step back from business, but we had discussed over the years, since I had been in the equestrian world for so long, going to some of the local show venues around where I live and braiding the manes and tails on weekends, because it is something that not everyone knows how to do, but it's needed. And additionally, it's something that I enjoy doing in a place that I really enjoy being at. So for me, it wouldn't feel like work. You know, I know you did say there were a few things. We've covered two of them. But is there any other tip that you would suggest that all professionals do to help them be prepared for the unexpected?
Yeah, so I would say the final piece of advice that I would give folks, whether, again, you're happy or unhappy in your job, you need to continually be learning something new. There are tons of free courses now. With everything going on with AI and ChatGPT, there are so many different methods to be able to learn a new skill, increase your knowledge base, and it can potentially help you in your current role and anything that you wish to do in the future. I mean, a practical example of this is a secondary project that you and I are working on. We're trying to develop an app for the equestrian world, something that we're both very passionate about. But I don't have a coding background. You don't have a coding background. But you don't need to have a coding background in this day and age. And so we wanted to test the functionality of a beta model without investing money to see if it's even feasible. So we've been using a platform called Bubble to bring this vision to reality. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. It's been challenging, but we have both learned a lot through the process. And it's allowed me to learn a new skill, which I never, ever in a million years thought I would be building on an app. But who knows where this will lead, because we have some other ideas that we might be able to incorporate this into as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And mentioning that and using free resources available really ties nicely into that second tidbit of advice you shared around side hustles. By going out and just using those free resources available to anyone to learn new things is really also a great way to broaden the number of ways that you could bring in extra money with your side hustle, or maybe pick up two. I think we've covered a lot here. I love that we've touched on some really important topics, but let's be honest, people are missing your chaotic work stories and lessons learned along the way.
Yes. So next week, we're going to get back to it with another story of mine. And that one we like to call Two-Faced Friends and Corporate Politics.
Great name for it. I'm not sure if I've heard the story yet.
You really haven't, Sabrina. It's a story that took me a long time to be ready to talk about, but I think the lessons that can be learned from it are worth sharing. So I'm excited to share more next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what to expect. That's a first for me, but I do look forward to hearing it for the first time next week. Thank you guys all so much for joining in, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye, everyone.